Karen, how are you? Good to see you. Well, hello. If you don't know who I am, I'm Brother Duane. They asked me to go ahead and fill in for Jim tonight, and I said I'd love to. Really, that ain't truth. I was tired, but I thought be ready in season and out of season. So when Tracy said he needed somebody, I found out yesterday about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I couldn't text him or call him. Didn't want to wake him up. So then I forgot. Then all of a sudden, I got another text from him saying, better call the guy, Tracy. So tonight, I want to talk about a faithful servant. And a lot of times in ministry, I've noticed over the years that a lot of people get caught up in titles. You know, you hear how many people call themselves apostles now, or bishop so-and-so, or this or that. And Jesus was a perfect servant because he did everything the Father asked him to do. He never walked outside. He helped everybody. He always walked in love, and it's amazing to see. But us as human beings, we're not so perfect. So, but I want to talk about a guy that most people don't pay much attention to. Because me as a servant of God, I still have free will, right? So God asked me to do something. I really don't have to. But we kind of lose that focus that servant means slave, or we were purchased. We were purchased by price. So when I see someone like Ed, he comes out and he leads worship. You guys should be very thankful that I'm not leading worship. But if we're all servants and we all work together, it makes everybody's job a lot easier. So I'm going to talk about a guy in Genesis called Eliezer. You'll find him first mentioned in the 15th chapter of Genesis, even though we'll be doing our study out of the 24th chapter of Genesis. But he was known as Abraham's top servant, his senior servant, the servant he always trusted in. Now, any of you been in at work, you always have people you know you can count on and rely on. You ask them to do something, you really don't have to check because you know they did it. But you have other people that say, sure, I did it, and they don't really do what they're told to do. But in the house of God, we're all called to be servants. And I think that's one thing that blessed me so much about Jim. We had a family member that they said he was going to live too long. God had other plans. He's still alive today. But he wanted to be baptized. I remember I called Jim at the ninth hour and said, hey, I got a guy who wants to be baptized. He wants to be baptized on Father's Day. Is there any way we can set it up? Jim said, sure. I got a little quiet on the phone. I said, Jim, that really blesses my heart that you would say something like that. And he goes, why is that? And I said, not all pastors I've been under would have said that. Well, you know, we'll have to set one up mid-summertime and do it for the whole congregation. And he said, he goes, you know, Duane, we're all called to be servants. And that's why we have a good pastor. He understands that. And to me, I want to focus tonight on a good servant. I mean, we can be a good servant in some areas, but lack in others. Such, we can be a good servant in praying, maybe reading our Bible, maybe even tithing. But you notice that church fellowship is down and people attending church? Interesting. The Bible says, forbid not the gathering together of the saints. But I want to pick somebody that was in the scripture that not a lot of people know about. So we're going to take off in the 21st chapter. Verse 1, and it's quite a long chapter, so you're going to have to bear with me a little bit. But it says, Abraham was now very old, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to his senior servant, that would be Eliezer, in his household, the one in charge of all that he had, put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, that'd be Yahweh, the God of heaven and the God of the earth. That word God there is Elohim, so it means it's plural. They have a Messianic Bible out, and one of the things I like about it, it actually puts the name of God there. And I think that's kind of important when you read some of this to understand who he's talking to or what. Because in the 15th chapter, when they use the word Lord, which is Yahweh, but when they go God, it is Adonai. And what that means, it means masculine. But here we got Elohim meaning more than one. So it's interesting when you're paying attention that Abraham here is giving acknowledgement to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Interesting. So when I was doing the study, I found it really fascinating that in some places it's Adonai, but in a lot of places, all the way through here, it's Lord is always Yahweh, and God is Elohim through all the scripture. So pay attention to that. Bible always acknowledges Christ from the creation to the finish. It always acknowledges the Father, and it always acknowledges the Holy Spirit. And that's why we got to keep them together. Understand, they are God. There's not a separation. Jesus was just as much God as he was flesh. So, in saying that, let's continue. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I am living, but will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac. You ever hear the term, don't be unequally yoked? See, Abraham has a problem here. He's serving Yahweh, or Elohim. He doesn't want his son to marry a pagan and get away from the true one living God. And so a lot of times when I hear people that are born again to say they're dating an unbeliever, and I always ask them, why? What do they have to offer you if they're not seeking God themselves? So Abraham knew the danger, so he's saying, look, I want you to swear to God that you will fulfill this promise. Understand what Eleazar has to gain here. If Isaac dies by any mysterious chance, he inherits everything. If you read the 15th chapter of Genesis, Abraham said, look, everything I have is going to go to Eleazar because I don't have a child on my own. And God said, no, you will have a child. So Eleazar, by finding a wife for Isaac, means he's supporting Isaac as the son of Abraham. Because if he had the wrong heart, he could take everything that Abraham owns as soon as Abraham passes away. The part of Eleazar's name, his name means God is faithful. And here we have a guy who's a faithful servant. So he said, all right, I'll place my hand under there. We'll pray. The servant asked him, what if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to the land? Shall I then take your son back to the country you came from? Make sure that you do not take my son back there, Abraham said. The Lord, Yahweh, the God of heaven, Elohim, who brought me out of the father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me on an oath, saying, to you and your offspring I will give you this land. I will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there. All right. Abraham's pretty smart. He said, no, we don't go backwards. God's made a promise. If God's made a promise to you, he'll be faithful to complete it. And Abraham says, no, don't take my son back there. God pulled me out of that land. He's called me into a promised land. Don't take my son back there. He goes, don't worry about it. God will send his angels before you. Abraham sure has a lot of faith. He said, don't worry about it. God will take care of you. And that's the faith a Christian should have. To believe no matter what you're facing, God's going to take care of it. Too many times we look at our problems and we don't look past our problems to look up instead of looking down. Abraham knew the promise of God. A lot of Christians know the promise of God. But when trials and tribulations come, it seems like they forget where to look. We always have to be looking up. Abraham says, I'm old. My son is young. He needs a wife. Don't take him back there. I know what's back there. But don't give him a wife over here because I want this kid to know God. It's simple. Why wouldn't he take a pagan wife? He didn't want his son to go that way. He knew the promises of God. He wanted his son to be faithful. It is easy for you to be faithful if you're yoked up with another believer. Wouldn't you agree? If you're not yoked up another believer, I've seen people do it, and it makes a real rough household. I knew a guy years ago, and some odd reason he decided to marry a Jehovah's Witness. And I just shook my head. And all there was every Sunday was a fight on where we're going. And I'm like, well, why would you marry one? Makes no sense. So Abraham's trying to prepare for his son's future. He knows his future isn't behind him. He knows his future's in front of him, but he wants his future to look bright. Your future is going to be bright when you got your eyes on the Lord. So he said, don't worry about her saying no. God is faithful. He'll send his angel. He'll bring him out, and you're to continue. But don't give my son a wife from the Canaanites. He knew the harmful effect. But Abraham had a personal relationship with God. Don't believe me? Read all of Genesis. You'll see that he walked with God. He talked with God, and he seen God in the flesh. Or he wouldn't ask God, do you need food for your belly and water for your feet? Seems silly if he was a ghost. So Abraham had a relationship with God. He was faithful in a lot of ways. He, human, made mistakes. But now he's looking to his future. He knows he's about done. But he knew the promises of God. He knew he needed to keep his son focused on that same journey. So please, don't take a Canaanite. Don't bring him back there. Bring her here from my father's household. Then I know he'll be walking in a straighter path. Interesting. Let's continue. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of his master Abraham and swore an oath to him concerning this matter. Then the servant left, taking with him 10 of his master's camels loaded with all kinds of goods, things from his master. He set out from Aram Naharim and made his way to the town of Nahor. That's where Abraham was from. He had the camels kneeled down near the well outside the town. It was towards the evening, the time the women go out to draw water. Did you notice that the servant didn't take his time? Naharim, what we would call it today, Mesopotamia would be the next scripture you would find of it. It would also be the valley. Anyways, what it means is between two rivers. So it's between the Euphrates and the Tigris River. That's where this place was. Understand, he's got to hop on camel. He's got to travel 250 miles one way, 250 miles back, 500 miles. You guys ever travel on a camel? In a caravan, they could average up to, they said they average about 22 miles a day, but they can get up to 25. So not only was he faithful, but he was obedient to do his master's will speedily. So one of the points I want to make out, he did it right away. He didn't question. He said, all right, 10 servants, load the camels, let's get going. We got an 11-day journey. Pretty impressive. Years ago, I was a ministering elder at a church, and I found out one of the guys in the church had knee operation and had my own company at the time, so I was swamped, and I decided the morning after I prayed that I was going to go by and see the brother, pray and lay hands on him, and then head back home that evening. And as the day went, the day got longer and longer and longer. And I remember getting in the car when I was finally done, and I was exhausted. And I thought to myself, simply, I'll go pray for him another time. God spoke to me. He said, if I was in that bed, would you wait till tomorrow? On my way, did a U-turn, headed to the hospital, went in, saw the brother, prayed and laid hands. One of the many lessons God told me when he asks things of me, he doesn't ask me to hang around and wait. The servant here could have waited. He could have waited till Abraham passed it on. What happens now? Faithfulness in the leadership is the highest quality you can have. Whether it's any position. You know, I've had a guy I knew that had a pastor that he just wanted to be served. He wanted that title so everybody could serve him. And I said, do yourself a favor and find another church. We're all called to be servants. But we all heard the phrase, many hands make light work. It's true no matter what you're doing. If you're preparing meals, many hands make light work. Cleaning at work, many hands make light work. But here's a servant that didn't question. He loaded up, took off, went across on camels. I don't even like camels. I've been around them. I don't care. Love horses. I can deal with horses. I rode an elephant. They asked me if I want to ride a camel, and I go, I don't want nothing to do with that beast. I don't care. I just, something about a camel I've never really cared for. Yeah. Yeah, you go up to them, they're chewing, you're like, yeah, no. But here he decided that, okay, you want me to go, I'm going to go, I'm going to head out. Loads up, takes off, gone. Now he's at the well. And then he prays. Interesting. Lord. So he says, Yahweh. Next word, God. Elohim. Of my master Abraham. He learned something from Abraham. It looks like he learned how to pray. Because he looked and he said, it doesn't seem like he has a relationship with God because he said, God of my master Abraham. He didn't say my God. He said, my God of my master Abraham. Make me successful today and show kindness to my master Abraham. What a statement from a slave. A slave that just the right events happen can inherit everything. But he was faithful. I always found that interesting that he could have inherited everything. But he stayed faithful to Abraham, even when Abraham wasn't around. I am standing beside this spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May be that when I say to a young woman, please, let down your jar that I may have a drink. And she says, drink, and I'll give your camels water too. Let her be the one you have chosen for my servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. The woman was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever slept with her. She went down to the spring to fill her jar and came up again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, please give me a little water from your jar. Drink, my lord. She said, talk about a proper attitude to have Rebecca here. Turning to him in respect. Eleazar's from Damascus. She would have known he wasn't from that town. But she says, look, my lord. And she showed him respect and kindness. If I've seen Christians get so rude at places, and I'm like, whoa, no. That's not how we act to anybody. You should always show people the proper respect. I knew a waitress that was a waitress for many years said she would never waitress on Sunday because the Christians out of church would treat her so bad that she refused to serve tables on Sunday. And I said, that's a shame. Always treat people better than you want to be treated. Always show them respect. And here, she turns and shows him respect. My Lord, sure, no problem. But she goes out of her way. So not only do we see a servant heart in Eleazar, but we see it also in Rebecca. Hey, no problem. Not only I get water for you, but I'll take care of your camels too. That's a heart God can work with. That's a heart that God wants to see, that we care for one another. I found it amazing that here she is, Nahor, name of the town. So it seems like Abraham's brother would have been a little wealthy. But yet he has a daughter that's very, very respectful. Always be respectful. Drink, my lord, she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him drink. After she had given him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels too, until you have had enough to drink. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran back to the well to draw more water and drew enough for all his camels. Camels can drink a lot of water. If you're going to travel in a desert for 25 miles, there's not a lot of watering holes in between. Can't remember how far a camel can go, but they drink a lot of water. But she was faithful to make sure all the camels were well done, made for sure he had plenty of water. So she quickly emptied her jars in the trough and ran back to the well to draw more water and drew enough for all the camels without saying a word. The man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made her journey successful. He just prayed that. How can we question God sometimes when we pray for something, the answer's right there? Was that really you, God? He just prayed that prayer. Let it be. The woman says, here's water. Let me water your camels too. Let that be the one. God answers his prayer, and now he's questioning, is that the right one? I always found that interesting when I hear Christians say, Father, if it be your will. And I tell people all the time, God's will is in his word. So you pray according to his word, you're praying according to his will. Isn't that correct? I tell that to Christians all the time. Well, God is his will. Well, what is his will? His will is in his word. So I tell people, pray according to his word. That is his will. Don't question or not what his will is. Get in his word till you know what his will is. And then you can pray accordingly. Me and Gaylene's done a lot of hospital visits where they said, hey, this person's going to die. And they look at me and I'm like, no. God didn't put a time stamp on your foot and says this is the day you're going to die. The doctors don't know. They're guessing. But we're just going to pray for recovery. And the most time we see the people walk out of the hospital. Matter of fact, I don't know anybody we haven't seen walk out of the hospital. You recall anybody? God's will is for us to be a light unto the nations, salt to the earth. And if you're treating people with disrespect, you're not a faithful servant. If you're not walking in love, you're not a faithful servant, for God is love. God so loved the world. Love is the key to all the scriptures you'll ever find. And a faithful servant, be a man, be a woman, should always walk in kindness and never to be rude, even when others are rude to you. So, whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful, so far, I think it's been very successful. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took out a gold nose ring weighing a burqa and two gold bracelets weighing 10 shekels. Then he asked, whose daughter are you? Please tell me. Is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night? She answered him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, born to Nahor. And she added, we have plenty of straw and fodder, as well as room for you to spend the night. Then the man bowed down and worshipped Yahweh, saying, praise be to Yahweh, the God of my master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness or faithfulness to my master. As for me, Yahweh has led me on my journey to the house of my master's relatives. The young woman ran and told her mother's household about these things. Now Rebekah had a brother named Laban, and he hurried out to the land at the spring. As soon as he had seen the nose ring and the bracelet on his sister's arm and had heard Rebekah tell what the man said to her, he went out to the man and found him standing with the camel near the springs. We should always worship. I haven't found, well, Eliezer had a relationship with God. I couldn't find anywhere in Scripture because he always acknowledged the God of Abraham. But when God ever answers prayer, it should always lead to worship. always lead to worship. Doesn't say take a whole lot to acknowledge God and say, Father, thank you so much for that answer prayer. Sometimes we get busy. And, years ago, I remember praying for my wife who was going in to have surgery. And she was really scared. And actually, it was going to be exploratory. And she was known to have kidney failure throughout her family. She lost an aunt to kidney failure. Her mom had one kidney. Her sister had one kidney. So it was like the whole family just had bad kidneys. And I remember the night before, she was real worried. So we prayed and we asked God to take care of it. And I remember the next day we were in Mercy Hospital in Baltimore. And I got out my Bible and started reading. People started talking to me as soon as I pulled out a Bible, which I thought was kind of strange. But we were all out there waiting in the waiting room. And I remember the doctor came out. And I don't know, he must have been 6 foot 10, 6 foot 11. I remember he said, Mr. Cardinal, I stood up in my chair and I went like this. And I go, yes. And he had blonde hair, blue eyes. And he goes, well, we got your wife's record or medical record, and we see that her family has all these kidney problems throughout her family, and she's had kidney problems all through her life, but she doesn't know more. I go, what? We can't find nothing wrong. Her kidneys are perfectly functioning, and you know, you think a light bulb would go off, but I was like, that's kind of weird. You know, I was just drew a blank. I, you know, hear God answer the prayer, and nothing went off. And I said, what do you mean you found nothing wrong? He said, her kidneys are perfectly fine. Don't know what to tell you. We did everything we can. She is fine. I go, okay. So, of course, she's drugged up, so I take her home. And the next day, I remember I was working in a house down in the basement, and God spoke to me. He goes, Dwayne. I go, yeah, Father. And he goes, what about yesterday? What about yesterday? He goes, Donna. I was like, ouch. Father, I'm so sorry. Thank you. Nothing more than God wants to hear is to hear from his kids. And you are his kids. And I'm his kid. And when he does answer us, we need to have a thankful heart. But I remember I couldn't believe it took me 24 hours to recognize the goodness that God did that very day. He answered that prayer in less than 12 hours. Why? Because he's God. He's God. And so when he answers our prayers, the first thing we need to say is thank you. And don't be blonde like me and think, oh, how'd that happen? So, anyways, let's continue here. So the man went to the house, and the camels were unloaded. Straw and fodder were brought for the camels, and water for him and his men to wash their feet. Then food was set before him, but he said, I will not eat until I have told you what I have to say. Then tell us, Laban said, verse 34. So he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master abundantly, and he has become wealthy. He has given him sheep, cattle, silver, and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys. My master's wife, Sarah, has borne him a son in her old age, and he has given him everything he owns. This servant's faithful because he knows nothing's his now, but he's still faithful. He said, look, Isaac has everything. Think about that. One wrong move and he inherits everything. But he's faithful. And my master made me swear an oath and said, you must not get a wife from my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I live. But go to my father's family and to my own clan and get a wife for my son. Then I will ask my master, what if the woman will not come back with me? He replied, the Lord, before whom I have walked faithfully, Abraham was a faithful man, will send his angels with you and make your journey a success, so that you can get a wife for my son, from my own clan, and from my father's family. You will be released from your oath when you go to my clan, and they refuse to give her to you. Then you will be released from my oath. When I came to the spring today, I said, Yahweh, God of my master Abraham, if you will, please grant success to the journey on which I have come. See, I am standing beside this spring. If a young woman comes out to draw water, and I say to her, please, let me drink a little water from your jar. And if she says to me, drink, and I will draw water for your camels too, let her be the one that Yahweh has chosen for my master's son. Actually, I said Yahweh should have been Elohim. Before I finished praying in my heart, Rebecca came out with her jar on her shoulder. She went down to the spring and drew water. And I said to her, please give me a drink. She quickly lowered her jar from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will water your camels too. So I drank, and she watered my camels too. I asked her, whose daughter are you? She said, the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Nahor, whom Milcah bore to him. Then I put the ring in her nose and the bracelet on her arms. And I bowed down, and I worshiped Yahweh, and I praised him, the God of my master Abraham, who led me on the right road to the granddaughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you will show me kindness and faithfulness to my master, tell me, and if not, tell me. I may know which way to turn. I'm really amazed how this guy gets there, sees the promises of God, gives God glory, tells him, hey, I'm here, I'm on a journey, I got to go, I need to know your answer. And that should be a servant's heart. Let me complete the task, give me the task, let me get it done, let me help out, let me serve any way I can, but let me get the job done. Many a times God has told me, hey, it's not what I asked you. Okay. I'm not always as obedient as this guy, and I'm really amazed at Eliezer because, like I said, he didn't have the Holy Spirit. I do. But this guy is faithful as a slave to his master. I wish more people in the church would have such a great attitude to say, hey, let me do everything I can to help out. Let me take care of everything to make your job easier. Let me fill in anywhere I can. Let me attend church faithfully. Let me get up in prayer so I can be a better husband. Let me get up and read my word so I can be a better dad. That's the faithfulness God wants. This guy's faithful, and I'm not convinced he's saved. I think he was on the right path to being saved, and hopefully he got saved before it was all said and done. But I know this, that Abraham had a strong influence on him. So it tells me Abraham's a good master. Because he was a bad master, why would you even want to follow through? And he respected Abraham enough, and he knew Abraham's relation with God, that he prayed to the God of Abraham. Amazing man, amazing man. Let's continue. Laban and Bethuel answered, this is from Elohim. We can say nothing to you one way or other. Here is Rebecca. Take her and go, and let her become the wife of your master's son, as Elohim has directed. When Abraham's servant heard what they had said, he bowed down to the ground before the Lord. Again, he's worshiping. Thank you. Thank you for making this mission a success. Thank you for being with Abraham. Thank you. What a servant's heart. Then the servant brought out the gold and silver, jewelry, and articles of clothing and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave costly gifts to her brother and to her mother. Then he and the men who were with him ate and drank and spent the night there. When they got up the next morning, he said, send me on my way to my master. But her brothers and mothers replied, yet let the young woman remain with us 10 days or so, then you may go. But he said to them, Do not detain me. Now that the Yahweh has granted success to my journey, send me on my way so I may go to my master. Then they said, let's call the young woman and ask her about it. So they called Rebekah and asked her, will you go with this man? I will go, she said. So they sent her sister Rebekah on her way, along with her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, oh, sister, may you increase to 10,000s upon thousands. May your offsprings possess the city of their enemies. Then Rebekah and her attendants got ready and mounted the camel and went back with the man. So the servant took Rebekah and left. Now Isaac had come from Beer Lahai-Roi, for he was living in the Negev. He went out to the field one evening to meditate. And he looked up and he saw camels approaching. Rebekah also looked up and saw Isaac. She got down from her camel and asked the servant, who is that man in the field coming to meet us? He is my master, the servant answered. So she took her veil and covered herself. Then the servant told Isaac all he had done. Isaac brought her into his tent of his mother Sarah, and he married Rebekah. So he became her wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. A faithful servant is always loyal. He's a loyal servant. A faithful servant is always committed and dedicated. How committed are we to God's word or dedicated in our prayer life? We're attending church. Or witnessing to others. I want to share one more scripture from you, and it's from, I believe, Ephesians, and I didn't write it down, but many of you should. I think it's 6, but it says 6:1, I think it is. It says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one spirit and one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. Isn't that what he did? He didn't have to be faithful, but he was. He took on a task. He completed it as quickly as he could. He rejoiced when God answered. He returned real quick and did what he was told. Rebekah sees her servant, which he will become when she marries Isaac, and she treats him with honor and respect. I think it's somewhere missing nowadays in the younger generations to look at somebody with respect and kindness, or that servant waiting tables, or doing something we think is beneath us. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equal with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus was the perfect servant. When I read this and studied this, I thought, I still have a ways to go. So as servants this week, I want you to start being a little more faithful to your time with God. Your prayer time, your reading your word. Spend a little time with God. It's something the church desperately needs today. when so many people that I talk to that are born again, I bet you half of them can't quote John 3:16. Sad. Because as servants, we don't want to become lazy or proud or arrogant. But we got to keep that same spirit of humility, looking at people better than we look at ourselves. And the thing that drives me most, that I don't understand about people mostly, is you ever notice that family treats family worse than they do a stranger? I've never been able to figure that one out. And I've been guilty, so don't think I'm stepping on toes. But I look at people, and as family members, you don't always agree and you have fights. But then I'll watch people, and they're so respectful of other people. But then they get around their mom and dad, and they're so rude. I don't understand. Oh, yeah, my dad would have backhanded me in a hurry. And I wouldn't have dared done it to my mom. I was more afraid of my mom than my dad. And my dad went through Korea and all that. So he was pretty angry when he came out of that. But I think as a church, we need to be faithful. We really do. We need to be faithful in attendance, faithful in our prayer life, faithful in reading the Word, and obedient to the Scriptures. And then I think Jesus would look at us one day and said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's all I want to hear. So when I get there, he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We're all to be called servants. And thank you for serving tonight. I know it's not always easy, but thank you. And I appreciate you all coming. Shall we pray? Father, we praise you and thank you for all the good examples you give us in the Scripture. We thank you for the examples we shouldn't follow, Father. There are many of them, too. Father, we just pray that you'd give us a servant's heart, Father, one that just treats people better than we want to be treated. Father, that we would be a light to somebody having a bad day, salt to people around us, that when someone's down, we can lift them up, Father. Help us have that servant heart to jump in with a helping hand, or a kind word,